Brother Bob prepared a very interesting topic, the New Age Movement. The New Age Movement. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Darius. Brethren, before we get into the message at hand here this morning, a couple of clarifications regarding the talk on Saturday regarding Surveyettel. There's been some discussion about it. And just to kind of clarify two points, first of all, I want to emphasize, I think that it's very important for everybody, because consecration is always in order, for everybody to, at the very least, dedicate their life to serving the Lord, to righteousness, and that is a form of consecration. It's not in response to a call, because there's only one calling. But it's always the appropriate way of life, and if pressure is exerted for that, then so be it, because that's the only proper way to live. And somebody who does the most that they can do, which is to consecrate their life to righteousness at the beginning, really become fertile soil, if you will, for the heavenly call. Should the heavenly call come? It may not, but if it does, they'll be in a very nice position to respond to that call. And then a second point regarding the call and the importance of the word of truth in that call, in that process. I'm just going to emphasize the importance of the word of truth, that it is an integral part of the integral mechanism of the call process, as long as we never forget that the Heavenly Father alone, by his sovereign power, must do the selecting and the choosing, utilizing the word of truth in the process, but it is the Heavenly Father who does the selection. How exactly he does it, we don't know. We don't know how he answers prayer. We don't know how he overrules in the lives of the brethren. A lot of things we don't know. We do know that the scriptures teach it. Now, for the subject at hand, I thought it might be interesting for us to look at what is referred to as the New Age movement. You getting feedback on the mic? Yeah, okay. Guess I'll take care of that. Just maybe to begin with, just to define what exactly the New Age movement is, that's our first challenge, and I hope that we can at least endeavor to accomplish it, but it's hard, because the New Age movement is just all over the place. Its tentacles have just reached out into all kinds of areas, and it becomes very, very difficult to define and to clarify exactly what it is and where it is. You know, we just heard in the service just before, in the vow, that we are to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism. I think that was probably easier to identify in the days of Brother Russell. You know, you see that admonition to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and you say, well, I want to stay away from, you know, fortune tellers and psychics and seances and that sort of thing, and that's pretty straightforward. Not as straightforward today, and that's because the occult movement has kind of put on a new suit and polished its shoes, and it's just spread all over the place, and it becomes very, very difficult to determine exactly where it is. And we're going to try to help in that process and help us determine exactly where it is and how we can identify it. It's kind of like a chameleon. It changes its colors and stripes, and again, it moves around a lot, and it goes by a variety of names, perhaps metaphysical, paranormal, some other names, but we're going to try to endeavor to define it by listing some of its activities so we can kind of get a feel for exactly what it is. Some may wonder, well, why discuss this, or why cover this before an assembly of the Lord's people? Well, you know, we have the admonition from the Apostle Paul so that we are aware of the adversary's devices, that we are to not be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're given that admonition. We are not to be ignorant of his devices. We are to understand where he is and where he's coming from. We cannot do that effectively if we cannot identify his presence. So we're going to make an effort to not be ignorant of his devices, to get a better feel for the New Age movement in the light of today, because it is not as it was in Brother Russell's day. It's just more pervasive. We're going to try to know thy enemy, if you will. If somebody was to look into, and I would never recommend anybody doing this, but if somebody was to look into New Age material and go to their seminars and conventions and so forth, they would find some basic principles showing up over and over again. So as we endeavor to define what it is, I think the best way to do that is to look at what some of their basic precepts are and what some of their activities are, and therefore we can get a better handle on the definition so that we're not ignorant. And by the way, there are brethren who are, I believe, innocently involved in some aspects of the New Age movement. I just don't think that they realize what exactly it is. And that also brings a certain amount of importance to covering the subject as well. I'm going to try to use an overhead projector and hope that the microphones can pick up the dialogue. Just to start out with some basic New Age concepts, I'm going to list four of them and then come back to them in a moment. But just four concepts. One of them is that God is everywhere. We're going to embellish on these a little bit later. But these are the general themes or trends that one would get by looking at New Age literature and so forth and the movement itself. Number two, a change in consciousness is necessary. Number three, death is an illusion. And then number four, superhuman, so to speak, powers are possible. We're going to come back to these in a moment. A way to define what something is, of course, is to see how it shows up, how it manifests itself. So let's look at some of the different activities. We're not going to go into detail, but look at some of the things that make up the New Age movement so we can be clear on what it is. We're going to have basically three lists here. One is a categorical list. Those are activities that, without any question, are absolutely inappropriate. They are just plain wrong and should be avoided under all circumstances. But because the New Age movement is so subtle and so clever, everything isn't in a categorical list. There's going to be a list that's kind of in a little bit of a gray zone. We're not quite sure how to pin it down. And then there's a yes and no list. Sometimes the activity is okay, and then sometimes maybe it's not okay. Let's look at the first list, which is the categorical list. This is a list of things that show up as, in my opinion, just plain wrong. And I'm not going to go through each one and describe them because that would maybe even be inappropriate. But just to look at a couple of them that brethren might innocently be involved with, but should steer clear of because it's really got the adversary behind it. We all know about astrology and psychics, but crystals is a big thing now. That's where people sell or stores sell crystals because they're supposed to give some sort of special power or influence, just like just a rock. And when somebody purchases one of those from a store that is involved in that sort of thing, they're really financially contributing to the New Age movement. So even something as innocent as a rock formation can actually be tied into the New Age movement. Something that we see showing up a lot is the contact with angels. You know, there are stores now that just specialize just in what would be called angel merchandise. You see sometimes people wearing little angel pins. Saw a bumper sticker the other day on the back of a car, "Never drive faster than your angel can keep up with you," or something like that. We, of course, must realize that the scriptures do talk about angels and guardian angels. But guardian angels are there exclusively for new creatures in Christ, not for the general populace, not for the world. And this is an indication of how the New Age movement can move in circles that are just so pleasant. They're so nice. Angels, everybody likes the concept of an angel. It's just a nice, pleasant, warm, and cozy sort of thing. But when an application is made to providential care or guardian angel care, just to the general populace, that's where that concept departs from the scriptural record. Something else that's coming up a lot is the Native American, not the Native American culture, the Indian culture, not that, but a resurgence of the Native American religion, the Great Spirit, that kind of thing. That's an evolving situation that is tied in with ecology and save the planet and that sort of a thing, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, everything on this list, I think, just absolutely across the board to be avoided, and that's where back to the vow, resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism. This list is pretty easy to see and identify with, and it's just plain wrong. There are other activities that we're going to embellish, some of which we'll embellish on a little bit later, which are a little bit more in a gray zone. We're going to be talking about various health therapies and so forth, which are going on today, which are very popular. We'll get into those a little bit later. Like something like dream interpretation, just not sure. You have dreams, maybe that says something about somebody, but you don't want to go too far into it, and it becomes kind of an intangible. I think hypnosis is probably more on the categorical list, certainly for the brethren, but it is used in crime scene investigation and recall, helping people recall what they saw, a license plate number or something like that. So it becomes a little bit iffy for the general populace. Then we have a yes and no list. And that is where it sometimes is okay and sometimes it's not. And brethren sometimes wonder about these things. You know, the scriptures admonish us to meditate. Meditation is a part of the life of the new creature in Christ. But it's not the same kind of meditation that is often taught in like yoga classes and that sort of thing. It's a completely different concept, and we'll embellish on that a little bit later. It's just important that we don't get confused and see the scriptural propriety of meditation, but then get confused with what other people call meditation. Magic and illusion, certainly there's a difference between stage magic or, you know, birthday party tricks and pulling the rabbit out of the hat and more of the, where everybody knows there's something, just, you know, a sleight of hand or something. There's something very different about that and more of the black magic concept. The spiritual master thing, that's a very big thing now in some circles. And, you know, we don't have a monopoly on character development, and there are individuals who, through a very strict and monastic life, may be able to develop their characters in a particular area, not as a new creature in Christ would, but can do well, and they give advice, and maybe some of the advice is good, but it's something that I think the brethren should certainly steer clear of. Now, back to our basic New Age concept, and remembering that list, you can just kind of embellish on these. The concept that God is everywhere is an unscriptural concept, and basically it states that the Heavenly Father is found in all of His creation. And that we can kind of agree with in a way, but we have to part company distinctly with that concept in another way. The God is everywhere concept teaches that the Heavenly Father is in the trees and in the birds and the animals and so forth, and in the human, certainly in human beings. He's just kind of everywhere. The problem with that concept is that it mixes up the Heavenly Father with His creation. And we always must keep the two distinct. I think a good example to kind of make the point is that if an artist paints a painting, that painting has come from the artist. It probably reflects something about the artist, maybe style, personality, something about the artist. So we can see when it's hanging on the wall, we know it came from the artist, and we know it reflects aspects of the artist's style or whatever. But we would never say that that painting is the painter. That painting is the artist. That is what the New Age movement does with the Heavenly Father and His creation. It mixes the two together, and it basically puts the theory forth that the Heavenly Father is His creation. And it shows up in different ways in some very, very subtle and very, but still dangerous ways, and we'll try to get to that a little bit later. It really is a theory that compromises the sovereignty of the Heavenly Father and his position. Number two, this change of consciousness, maybe to embellish on that. The New Age movement teaches that, in fact, this is where meditation comes into play, and the distinct difference between biblical meditation, which is advisable, and unbiblical or unscriptural meditation, which is wrong and dangerous. Same word, just two different things. Two distinctly different things. New Agers would teach that there is a divinity, if you will, down deep inside the human psyche. In other words, in order to get answers to life's questions and sort of to get in touch with God, so to speak, one must go deep inside. The problem with that is that there are all these layers of culturalism and, you know, there's just all kinds of, like, stuff in between. And that's really what the process of unscriptural meditation is all about. And that is to kind of clear the mind, free the mind, strip away all those layers, and get down to that source of divinity. Of course, that's a very big mistake, because we know there is not, that while mankind is made in the image of God, that they're really looking at it from a completely different perspective. Scriptural meditation, the kind of meditation that the Word of God recommends, is not to go inside to find the answer. See, the problem is that they think the answers are inside. The Bible teaches that the problem is inside. Big difference. The answers aren't inside. The problem's inside. Therefore, scriptural or Christian meditation is where an individual, child of God, goes into the Word of Truth and finds a principle or a precept and takes that into the mind and cogitates or thinks about it, to endeavor to get the principles of the Word of God into one's mind, looking for the answers in the Word of Truth and trying to make them part of our heart and soul, so to speak, not stripping away layers of culture and so forth and looking for the answer inside. Very, very big difference. You know, we got something in the mail recently from a very traditional hospital in the San Diego area. They were putting on a seminar about just kind of a health seminar. And looking at it, it looked kind of interesting, and this is something that a lot of people are probably going to go to. It was just about how to improve your well-being and so forth. And I started to look at it in a more critical way. And again, this is coming from a mainstream, conventional, traditional, large city hospital. In the seminar pamphlet, and this is how we do not want to be ignorant of his devices, brethren, they had a little diagram of, it's going to be kind of hard to see, sort of the human being. And you kind of start out here with the body of material. That's just the body itself, the skin and the bones and so forth. Then they have the mind and the intellect. And as you go deeper inside, what do they have at the bottom or at the inside? Something that they call universal consciousness. That is that concept that God is down deep inside, and we need to strip away the layers and find divinity inside. There's no divinity inside to find. Heard recently an individual in the Truth quoting this fellow, Dr. Deepak Chopra, who's probably the leader of this movement, heard one of his talks. It was just great, and going on and on and on and on. If you ever see that name associated with anything, run the other way, because it's just part and parcel of something that's very inappropriate and very wrong, but it just looks so good. So these things show up in very, very subtle ways. And in very conventional and traditional areas that they used to not show up in. Number three, and just close off on meditation again. Scriptural meditation, going into the Word of God to find a principle or a precept, bringing it into the mind and concentrating and thinking about it trying to make it part of our character is a very, very different thing than going inside and trying to find something inside that's an answer. Answers are not inside. The problem's inside. The answers are in the Word of the Lord. Number three, death is an illusion. Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where when somebody dies, they really don't quite die. Of course, the mainstream Christian churches teach that as well. And it's just the same old lie. And it's really a very arrogant, egotistical concept, because it kind of makes people think they can sort of become like God in a way. And it just caters to the fallen human condition. The concept that death is an illusion is a very important aspect of the New Age movement because of alleged contact with the dead and reincarnation and that sort of a thing. So that's a very important principle. As a New Age principle. Number four, superhuman, supernatural powers are possible. That would be where somebody is able to, you know, foretell the future or tell something about somebody that is not really readily apparent and that sort of thing. If you ever have the television on or ever look in a newspaper, you know that there is these psychic lines, phone lines or whatever, are just an industry unto itself. And that kind of taps in on this misconception. In Acts 8:7, the Apostle Paul's or that context of Acts 8:7, there's a little bit of information about Simon the sorcerer, and he is the individual that saw the dispensing of the apostles laying on of hands and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's the one who wanted to buy it, and he was of course rebuked for that, and he was instructed that that power was the gift of God. It's very important for us to recognize that when something supernatural happens, and it's of a righteous nature, it is only by the power of God. It's a gift of God. It's not something that people by themselves can somehow manifest. You know, we can even see this in healing ministries of mainstream or more evangelical Christian churches, where they seem to have an ability to heal. Now, of course, they try to give the credit to God, although you seem to have to be inside of the arena to get healed. I don't know if you're in the parking lot, it doesn't seem to work. You've got to be right where the minister is somehow. And probably near the collection plate, too. It probably helps. You notice that when they heal, they don't heal anything that's really dramatic. It's always this subtle stuff that you really can't, you know, a backache or arthritis or something that you really can't see. And that's because they really don't have the ability. This concept of superhuman powers really endeavors to impinge upon the province of the Heavenly Father, so to speak. Only the Heavenly Father can prophesy or foretell the future, and in terms of righteous activities, not something inspired by the adversary, but righteous activities, only the Heavenly Father can give that kind of a gift. So we have to be careful of that as well. So those are the basic New Age concepts that seem to show up over and over again. And we can see how these fit in, the activities fit into these concepts as you kind of break them down or break them apart. The God is everywhere, this universal intelligence that we saw that little flyer on, the advertisement on, change in consciousness, that would be the meditation and that sort of thing. Death is an illusion, the communication with the dead, superhuman powers possible. You know, let me say something about number four. You know, there's something that we call intuition, or maybe even women's intuition, where somebody seems to have an ability to sort of get an insight into somebody or into something that maybe isn't readily apparent. The difference between that and an alleged superhuman power is that intuition, real human intuition, really comes from the five senses. It comes from natural means, and we just kind of get a feeling about something. So there's certainly a difference there. In the miscellaneous area, and something that we're going to be talking about in just a little bit, especially the holistic and the health area, because I know that that's a kind of a controversial area within the fellowship. In addition to that, we have the angels, astrology, and the UFO thing is kind of a big thing in the New Age movement as well. It is easier to define what New Age is when we see what the activities are that they are engaged in. And when you see the activities of something, it helps you to identify with the source of that something. It helps you define it. And that's the way that we are to not be ignorant of the adversary's devices. One thing that we can be sure of is that the Word of God forbids activities such as the ones that we have been looking at. These are just a few of the scriptures that we can look at that make it very, very plain that the Heavenly Father condemns occultism, spiritism, and its various manifestations. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Something kind of similar in Leviticus 19, do not, you know, pay attention or regard them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards, you know, don't go after them, don't look for their advice. Leviticus 20, interesting penalty. A man or a woman who is a medium or a wizard shall be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Can't think of a more severe penalty than that. And then kind of just a group of activities that are similar to one another. Astrologers, stargazers, the monthly prognosticators shall be a stubble. Isaiah 47:13. And this basic Old Testament concept of absolute across-the-board condemnation of these activities shows up, as we would expect it to, in the writings of the New Testament. In Acts 16, there was an interaction between the Apostle Paul and a sorcerer. Paul said, "O full of all subtlety and mischief." Interesting. Subtlety. Maybe not blatant, but subtle and mischievous. You know, mischievous is when it's not maybe all that apparent. It's just a very clever sort of thing. But Paul recognized this individual who was involved in these activities as a child of the devil and an enemy of all righteousness. Apostle Paul, of course, is right. He saw that this individual that was engaged in these activities was engaged in something that really was emanating from the adversary. Paul called it as he saw it, and he saw it right. He recognized that it was the adversary himself that was behind this kind of lifestyle. Galatians 5, among the works of the flesh, witchcraft would be one of them. And you know, there's a scripture here also, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And that is just a basic principle that we need to be aware of, not just for this subject, but for a lot of other things. You know, brethren, the adversary can be involved in something that looks good. There can be even experiences put in the way of the Lord's people that are instigated by the adversary that look good. The fact that something looks all right doesn't mean that it's all right. It means that it needs to be scrutinized to see if you know, who and what is behind it. That admonition that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light is a very important one. It's a very important warning to the Lord's people. It would be a lot easier for us if everything the adversary was involved in was just patently wrong and was evil and you could see it. But here the Apostle Paul is giving us a warning. And he's saying that, in a sense, that not only is what is obviously unrighteous of the adversary, but he has been given the ability, he has the ability, to change things around, change himself around, maybe sort of almost put on a disguise, if you will, and manifest as something that looks good, that looks okay, to the point of being like an angel of light. And so it's a warning that we're given that we have to take to heart. Now we may wonder, why does the Word of God condemn all of this? I mean, what's so bad about it all? Well, there's a lot of things that are bad about it, and there are a number of reasons why we think the Word of God absolutely forbids the involvement in it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. The New Age movement has, of course, as we would expect, some difficulty, not a lot of difficulty, but they have some difficulty with, in terms of what to do with the person of Christ, how he fits in to their theories. And there are just three items I want to mention about our Lord and how his ministry is twisted, or an improper spin is put on what he has said or his life in order to try to get his teachings to fit in with this. Now, you know, this is kind of where Satan appears manifests as an angel of light. Many individuals who are just part and parcel of the New Age movement profess to be also Christian, and they quote the Bible all the time. And that's part of the angel of light concept. A lot is made of what we'll call the missing 18 years. You know, our Lord as a boy showed up at the temple at 12 years old. And, you know, had apparently some profound things to say to the religious leaders. But he's kind of off the scene until Jordan at 30 years old, the Jewish age of an adult male. And so there's a gap there. There's an 18-year period. Now, we just assume that he was just living a relatively normal life and getting ready to assume his position as the Son of God and his ministry as the Messiah and so forth. But there's still a gap there. There's still an 18-year gap that's a little uncertain. And so a lot of it is made of that. And there's all kinds of theories about where he was and what he did and so on and so forth. Probably, but they're mistaken theories. Probably the most quoted scripture out there in the New Testament is this one here, and that is, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, that just seems to give some credence to a lot of the things that the New Age movement puts forth. However, I don't know that we know or are in uniform agreement on precisely what our Lord meant there. I think that a lot of us would agree with the Diaglot rendition, where Jesus is actually saying that a representative of the kingdom, if you will, is right here. I'm right here among your midst. Not that there's this, the kingdom of God itself is within everybody. Well, one thing we know for sure, regardless of exactly precisely what our Lord meant, let's not forget that he was talking to Pharisees that were kind of trying to entrap him in his words. And he wasn't about to say that the kingdom of God was within them. So we know that for a certainty. So this is a scripture which is a King James text, which is misquoted and misapplied. We have to be careful of that. Another one is where the Lord quotes something from the Psalms. Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And I know that Brother Russell, if I recall correctly, applied that to members of the church, to the bride of Christ. It certainly doesn't apply just across the board to everybody. And so there's a text here that is simply misapplied and generalized. So let's not be surprised when individuals in the New Age movement freely quote the Bible. We would expect them to. That's Satan manifesting as an angel of light. Okay, let's look at some of the areas of influence of the New Age movement so that we can see where it's showing up in areas other than the categorical list. You know, the list of the categorical and maybe the yes or no or the gray zone, you can pick things and just stay away from it. That is where we observe the vow, to just resist everything akin to spiritual, and just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Don't test the waters, we just stay away from it. But because the New Age movement is so pervasive, and it's got its tentacles all over the place, it has gotten involved in some rather noble causes, and some things that are just kind of intrinsically pretty good. And they tend to seek out activities, pursuits that are good, that seem just wonderful. But very often, New Age organizations are behind those movements and those activities. And they have an agenda. And the agenda is not good. What's around it looks good. But their basic agenda of where they are steering things is anything but good. So let's look at some areas of influence of the New Age movement. And I have three here. I think I'll, just for sake of brevity, put two of them together at the beginning. And that is the ecology or save the planet kind of thing, save the whales and the dolphins and so forth. Here is where, they tend to pick activities or movements, pursuits that, again, that are just very, very pleasant. It's, you know, mom and apple pie and baseball and warm and fuzzy. And so everybody wants to save the dolphins and so forth. By the way, I saw an interesting bumper sticker the other day. It said, be a hero, save a whale, save a baby, go to jail. So there is this concept that everybody can agree with. It's okay. Everybody loves the trees and the plant and planet Earth and animals and so on and so forth. But in some of these pursuits, not all of them, but some of them, there is really the New Age movement is just part and parcel of it, and they have another agenda. There's a way that we can test this particular pursuit. I'll tell you a way that I personally did. Recently, somebody came to our door, knocked on the door, and just canvassing door to door, taking contributions for their cause. And it was a kind of a save the rainforest, save whatever cause, which sounds great. And whenever somebody comes to our door, I always tell them at the beginning that I respect them for taking the time to want to spread their opinion, or at least that they have the right to do that, and I'll be glad to talk with them briefly, that I will not contribute any money to their cause, but if they want to take a few minutes and talk to me only with no expectation of a contribution, then fine. Of course, that that's a very short conversation, and then they're gone. But at least give them the opportunity to say what they want to, especially if it's maybe a religious group or something. So I asked a question. I said, this all sounds good, but let me ask you something. Do you believe that the animals and the plants, you know, the vegetation and the animal kingdom, were created for the use of mankind, for to be under the dominion of mankind, of humankind, as Genesis 1:28 tells us it is? And that got into a conversation about how really the trees and the animals are just kind of like sort of the same as people, because we all have that same spark of divinity in us. Well, it's all just a manifestation of this universal intelligence or the Heavenly Father and so on and so forth. I said, I'm not saying that they were created to be abused by humankind, but that they are under the dominion of humankind, that they are there for the purpose of mankind. Absolute disagreement. And so we had to part company philosophically. And that is because it's okay for somebody to want to protect animals. It's okay for them to want to preserve natural resources. But when they put those animals and those natural resources on the same plane as those who were created in the image of God, that's where the mistake is made. That's where the mistake is made. And there are a number of patently New Age organizations that are the ones who fund and staff some of these seemingly noble causes. Okay, let me get into an area that's going to be just a little bit sensitive, but that's okay. What else is new, right? The New Age movement has also gotten involved in something else. And that's what we might call the alternative health therapy movement or endeavor. Got to be real careful here, because it's very important to point out that when the New Age movement becomes involved in something, it doesn't make that something bad. It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means we have to be careful. And in everything I say from the next few minutes, that's going to be the basic point. It doesn't mean something's bad. It just means that we have to be cautious. That is part of not being ignorant of his devices. That's all it is. Just be aware of what's going on. That's all. For example, if a local metaphysical church decided to distribute Bibles, that doesn't make Bible distribution wrong. It just means that we need to be careful as to why are they doing it? What's their purpose? What's going on here? We just have to be take some steps of caution. The New Age movement, when you take the health therapy, the non-conventional health therapy industry, the New Age movement has got its web spun around that tighter than you would believe. It's got its insidious web spun around some activities that are just perfectly okay. You know, probably, you know, chiropractic, and there's reflexology and massage and vitamin supplements. Fine, there's no problem with that. It's just that they have got their web in this so it's so far reaching that we just have to be very, very careful when we are presented with some sort of alternative health therapy, because sometimes the driving force behind that is absolutely the New Age movement. There are some areas of this that are questionable. There's aromatherapy, there's detoxification, there's this magnetic therapy thing as well. There are a lot of other things. Certainly Ayurvedic medicine is a big one here. And I think I'm pronouncing that right. That's taking the country by storm in some circles. And it's this sort of Eastern mystical type of in fact, that seminar thing I was showing you about is part of that. It's called Ayurvedic medicine. It's got a mysticism attached to it, a spiritism attached to it, which makes it dangerous. Just show you something else. There was a health fair in San Diego recently, just to show you how the New Age movement has just got this thing in a web. And it looks kind of nice, National Holistic Fair. Holistic sounds good and probably usually is. And there's a list of all kinds of things that they're going to be talking about. Health freedom, that sounds good. Herbs, that sounds fine. Yeah, that's from nature. Chiropractic. But here we have what's called Reiki or Reiki. That's patently wrong. That's absolutely wrong. We have hypnotherapy. See, that's absolutely wrong. I want to stay away from that. And what happens is the New Age movement mixes things up, where some of it's okay and some of it's not okay. In part of this fair, some of the topics to be covered, creating a balance in the physical body, gee, that sounds nice. Utilizing the vital force to evoke healing, that sounds good. Healing emotional body. But what do we have here? Discovering the seeds of divinity in embryonic form at the level of the causal body or down deep. See what happens? What happens, brethren, is they get it so mixed up and the web is so tight that it becomes difficult to separate the good from the bad. Now, one of the problems with an overemphasis on health therapies is that it puts health on more of a pedestal than it should be on. We want to feel good and do our best and be our most productive, but sometimes some of these things can maybe elevate it too much, and there's maybe too much attention paid to a body that we're really sacrificing anyway. But that kind of gets into a gray area. Some of these activities are old. Some of them are thousands of years old, and they've been okay for thousands of years. And sometimes brethren will get involved in activities that have been around for thousands of years, and they think, well, they've worked for thousands of years and they've been okay so far. I mean, we don't know about them just because modern medicine has kind of kept us in the dark, and gee, this thing looks new, but it's really very, very old. The fact that something is old and good doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't use caution right now. Got in a discussion with somebody about this, and they were making the point it's old, we just didn't know about it, and it's been tried and tested, and it's okay. I said, do you drink wine? I said, no, I don't. Well, that's interesting, because wine's been around for a long time. The Son of God consumed wine. He was perfect, in perfect obedience to the Heavenly Father. Never did anything wrong, and he consumed wine. And they said, well, yeah, but times have changed. It's been around a long time, but things have changed, circumstances have changed, so it's in a different setting now. I said, well, thank you very much. You just made the point. Something is old and intrinsically okay, because of the change of circumstances and time, becomes at least worthy of caution. And we might want to look at something that's been okay in a different light and just be careful about it. The point I want to make here is that some of these things are absolutely patently wrong. It just means that when somebody presents a rather strange sounding therapy or health therapy to somebody in the truth, we just have to be very, very careful about it. That's all. We just have to filter it out, screen it out, and check it out. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. In other words, somebody may be involved in one of these things and say, well, gee, I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know that the New Age was behind this. I've never heard of it before. I really didn't know. Well, brethren, if we are judged only by what we know, I'll tell you what my new agenda in life would be, and that would be to know as little as possible. Boy, I wouldn't want to read the Bible. I wouldn't want to listen to a talk or a testimony. I might learn something, and gee, now I'm accountable for it. Stay in the dark. We are not only held responsible for what we know. We are held responsible for what we should know, what we could know, what we ought to know. That's the standard that I believe the Lord applies to us. When we do something wrong and say, gee, I didn't know about it. Well, the better question to ask is could I have known something about it? If I was more diligent, if I investigated a little bit more, could I have? Should I have known more about it? If somebody came to me, if I had a backache all the time or something, and somebody said, oh, I read a book about this, and you get oatmeal and banana and mix it up and you boil it and put it on your back and stand on your head and face north or something. And I think it's worked for everybody else I've talked to. It might work for you. It would be inappropriate for me to just, that sounds like a great idea, and jump into it. Because the New Age movement is behind a lot of this stuff. So may I suggest the attitude to take is, wait a minute, where did you read about it? Who wrote the book?
What other books has this individual written? Who publishes the book? What other books do they publish? What kind of stores can you get these books in? Are they metaphysical? Are they New Age? Where does this stuff come from? Are there seminars about this? If so, what other activities are there? There are, you know, brethren, there are workshops or seminars or whatever. They have exhibitors where they will have herbs, which is probably okay, and some other things that are fine. Then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, it might be something that's just patently wrong. You know, channeling or something. And then you go on a couple of others, and they're okay, and then something else is wrong. All we need to do is just look at something carefully with the eye of caution. Maybe it is better when somebody has a headache to boil some peppermint leaves and smell the aroma and just quietly lay down. Maybe it's better than taking Tylenol or something. All we need to do so that we're not ignorant of his devices is to recognize that today, probably not before, but today, the New Age movement is so embedded in alternative health therapies that we need to be careful about what we're doing. Okay. Regarding some of the objections to the New Age movement, as to why it is wrong, what's so bad about it? Why should we stay away from some of these things? Especially the categorical list. Well, there are a variety of reasons. Probably the best reason is that the Word of God condemns it. The Word of God says, stay away from it. Even if we didn't know why, that's still a good reason. It's a very good reason. Just the Word of God says, don't go near it, then don't go near it. That's all. I think the reason why we shouldn't go near it, I think there are several reasons why we should not go near it. First of all, the philosophies of the New Age movement are just based on erroneous concepts. The foundation underpinnings of it are just incorrect. And when the foundation is incorrect, everything that's built up on it is also going to fall and be incorrect as well. The concept that God is everywhere is just wrong. It's just simply wrong. It's not true. The fact that when somebody dies, they go off into another world immediately and they can be communicated with and that sort of thing is just wrong. And when you take out this life after death concept or the death is an illusion concept and you take out the God is everywhere concept, you eliminate about 75% of the New Age movement anyway. So one of the reasons why it's wrong and we should stay away from it is just one of the reasons we should stay away from it is that it's just erroneous, false. It just doesn't make sense on the foundational level. Another reason is because it transfers reliance away from the Heavenly Father. This concept that somebody else can prophesy and has supernatural powers and so on and so forth. I was going to say jeopardizes the position of the Heavenly Father. I guess it really doesn't jeopardize it because it can't be jeopardized. But it endeavors to transfer reliance away from the Almighty God to a mere mortal human being that is subject to all kinds of mistakes and part of the fall and so on and so forth. Another very good reason to stay away from patently wrong New Age movement things, and also to investigate those that we're not quite sure about as well, is because they are allied with the adversary. It's the same old lie, the same old thing happening over and over again, just, you know, a new suit of clothes kind of a thing. It just changes form. It's like a chameleon, but it's still the adversary behind it. And also, I think, as the vow says, we can only serve one master, not two. And the adversary is involved with this stuff. And then another very good reason to stay away from it is because it's an entree to things that are even worse. You know, something like meditation may sound, the incorrect meditation may not sound all that bad. You know, you go to a yoga class and you just sort of sit there and think and It is bad, but it may not at first seem all that bad. But what the New Age movement does is it gets individuals involved step by step. You know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and the erroneous philosophies start to spread. And then they've got the person, and that's the problem. That's the problem. It's an entree to progressive evil. And again, the Word of God just patently condemns it, I think, for these reasons and some others, so we have to be careful about it from that standpoint. Okay, so what do we do? what are the screening processes that we should apply to anything that comes to our attention? Regardless of what the activity is, now that we have maybe a better feel for how pervasive the New Age movement is, when something comes to our attention that is at least questionable, something on the list perhaps, that maybe might sound okay, maybe something to do with angels or whatever, and maybe it's okay, maybe it's not. Even in alternative health therapy, that again intrinsically may be the best thing in the world, and it's right, and it's misunderstood, and the New Age movement is involved, but it does not impact upon the validity of that therapy, and I kind of want to make that point, it may be the greatest thing in the world and may work. But still, because of the involvement of the New Age movement, what are the things that we can do to try to screen some of this stuff out? To apply some tests. And if it passes the test, then fine. That's okay. But at least apply the test to it. At least apply the screening or the filtering mechanism to it. At least do that. And then if it's okay, it's okay. And it's fine. Let's go over some of those cautions that we can apply kind of as a screening process. We would want to avoid any kind of activity or endeavor which suggests any of the following, any or all of them. Certainly anything that would indicate that somebody would have or gain powers and abilities beyond the five senses. That if you do this activity, or take this pill, or whatever it might be, or attend this seminar, you are going to be able to have a perspective that the human creation really does not have. Have a perception on things, be able to look into the future or whatever. Anything at all like that, anybody that's doing that, anybody that says that you can do that, anything that relates to it in any way, shape, or form, is something that should be avoided. The next one is very simple for us because any of us have a problem with this. Anything that would indicate contact or communication with the dead. You know, an area where this is coming about is what they call the near-death experience arena, where somebody, I guess today you're not really dead necessarily, maybe you're mostly dead for a while or something, and then you get really dead or something, and in that sort of in-between zone, people are coming forth and writing books on how you sort of die, but not quite, and you go into this tunnel of light, and you see whoever, you know, your mother-in-law is there to get you or something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. It's always something good, you know. It's never anybody bad. And there are probably some medical reasons for why this happens, you know, what's happening in the brain or whatever. But this is starting to get into that in a very innocent way. I mean, it sounds beautiful, this wonderful light and so forth. Really getting into an area that has something to do with contact with the dead, because that's the people that are at the end of that tunnel have died, and it's something that just sounds so great, and it's a great theme for books and so forth, apparently or allegedly, but in fact it's really a very, very inappropriate and dangerous area, and it just simply flies in the face of the firm scriptural directive that the dead are really dead, and that's just the way it is. It's just based, again, on an erroneous perspective, a falsehood. Certainly, to stay away from anything that suggests that the Heavenly Father is personally found in His creation, that His character is reflected in His creation, that's fine, no problem. Made in the image of God, we see the beauties of nature. It might give us an insight into the wonderful character of the Heavenly Father and the diversity and so forth. But to ever say that God is a tree or is a dolphin or something like that is just wrong. It's just and when a tree is destroyed, it's kind of killing a little bit of God and that sort of thing. That's just an incorrect perception, incorrect theory. We want to stay away from it. And we also would never want to contribute to any organization that would promote that kind of concept. Couple more. God is personally found deep inside the human condition. I might just kind of do the last one here too, because it's kind of similar. Any kind of activity or therapy or meditation or anything at all like that gives somebody the impression that there is some sort of source of divinity down deep, and we need to strip the layers off and get in touch with the God within us, that kind of concept, that sort of psychobabble concept that's going around now. That to recognize that universal intelligence, or infinite intelligence, if you will, divine intelligence, can only be accessed through the only divine revelation we have. And that's the written word of truth, the written word of God, the Bible. That every bit of information that we have about divine intelligence and the plan of God is found within the pages of that book from Genesis to Revelation. And if we want to become more God-like, not to become gods, but to become more God-like, it's for us to go into that word of truth, find a principle, a parable, a precept, something worthy of praise, a characteristic of our Heavenly Father that we can meditate on, and to bring that inside and use that form rather than stripping away the layers and going deep inside to find the answer. The problem's inside, the answer's not inside, and to practice scriptural or biblical meditation, not the other. Well, brethren, we've just about run out of time here. I think that just by way of some concluding remarks, we are not to be ignorant of his devices. The adversary changes things around on us. And, of course, his ultimate victim, if he can grab one, would be one of the Lord's people. And he uses all kinds of disguises and gets involved in activities that seem to be okay, not only to sway the world of mankind, but if one of the new creation can be entrapped into this, then so much the better for the adversary. So the effort today has been to make us more aware of some of the things that are going on today so that we can recognize some pursuit or activity that sounds okay at first. Perhaps we can recognize that the underpinnings of it, the foundation of it, is really the New Age movement and something that we are to avoid, and to always resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism in every endeavor of life. May the Lord add his blessing.